Welcome to The Other Side of 40. My name is April Grant, and I'm here to help women make positive changes with their lives after the age of 40. Let The Other Side of 40 become your community to find inspiration and support to start the next chapter of your life. Hello, and let me stop that. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Other Side of 40. I would love to introduce you to the co-founder of The Other Side of 40, Renee Scott. She is currently working as the editor on the website portion, and she decided she wanted to join me today because school's out. She's a teacher, and she actually has time to do so. And I wanted to make sure that she came on and said hi to our audience. So welcome, Renee.
Hey, it's great to be here. I'm so excited to be a part of this and so excited to get to hear from our wonderful guest today.
And on that note, our guest today is Tracy Wilson, and she is the host of Melanated Mom Podcast, where she encourages moms to raise creative, innovative, and independent children, and in the process to make sure that as mothers, we don't lose sight of the call on our own lives. Ooh, that speaks to me. Tracy is the mother to three amazing humans and wife to a man who gets behind all the out-of-the-box ideas she has for raising children. So welcome, Tracy.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, April and Renee. I'm so excited to be here today.
Awesome. So as I start out with every podcast, do you have an awakening moment? And tell us about it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I have a big awakening moment because this is the other side of 40, right?
Yeah.
So my last pregnancy was at 40 years old.
Okay.
And it was a huge, when I tell you, a huge awakening moment for me, because first of all, I did not want to be pregnant at 40. This was one of the things that I told my husband. He is the second relationship for me with a child. I have a 24-year-old.
Okay.
And then I have now an 8 and a 6-year-old.
Oh,
so I'm telling you. So we had our first child together, and that was something that we had talked about. We agreed to have one child. And the one thing I told my husband is that I would never want to be pregnant at a certain age. And I would never want to be pregnant when my son was a senior in high school. Well, guess what, Renee and April?
Uh-oh.
I was pregnant at 40 with a senior in high school. And I said, this cannot be real. I mean, the pregnancy was very short because I was in denial for about 5 months. So, it took me down a rabbit hole. I mean, I just, we all know how much kids take out of us, like how much we have to give in time and love, and just, it takes a lot of work to be there for your children. And I love being a mom, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, when is it going to be my time to live? I'm going to be raising kids for the entirety of my life. I started when I was 21. And here I am still at 46 raising kids. So yeah. It really sent me into somewhat of a downward spiral.
Yeah.
I felt like I was really losing control of myself and who I was and the visions and the dreams that I had for my own self. So I had to really like talk to myself. I mean, every day, every morning when I was getting up in the morning, I had to talk to myself about what it is that you really want for your life. And I had to begin to tell myself that the beginning of motherhood, again, is not the end of life for you.
Right.
So you have to find a way to exist in this space and still keep pushing. And it is still a journey. My youngest is 6 years old, as I said, and I'm still finding ways to push myself forward. We all know that after 40, the body does not act like it acted.
Nope.
When we were in our 20s. So everything is a great big push. I want to give them the same life that I gave my 24-year-old. And I want to give myself an opportunity to experience life the way that I would like to experience it as a 46-year-old. So it is a fine line to walk. It's a challenge at most days, and it's a balance of figuring out how we can all make this work where we all get what we want out of life. So that is my awakening moment.
Oh, yes. I mean, I had not a similar story. I told my husband that if I didn't want a baby by 40 years old, then we got to figure out how to cut this off, because I could get pregnant anytime. And I was tired of taking the pills and doing the shots and all of that. So, you know, we made a decision, and he got snipped, because I was like, we're not going to have any accidents. We're not going to have any, because I'm just drained, because I have a 6 and 8 year old too. I also have a 16-year-old, and it's draining to do all of that all the time. So what did you do with this feeling? What forward trajectory did you go from this awakening moment?
So this is kind of where the podcast started for me, because I thought about how I was feeling about motherhood, and I'm like, I can't be the only one out here feeling this way. Like, there are people that want to raise their kids in a way that their kids have freedom and the ability to move and be who they are, but also not forget about what they have on their own plate, their own dreams and their own aspirations for life. So I just wanted to talk to mothers about really pressing forward in their dreams and aspirations. And if you need to make your kids a part of that, then you can do that as well. Yes. I was just talking to my mom the other day, and my daughter, who's the 6-year-old, has gotten really interested in graphics. And so she wants to work on Canva a lot. I'm like, oh, I'm about to make this girl do my graphics for my podcast. So
I'm having the same discussion with my 8-year-old. So I feel you there.
I'm like, I'm just going to make it about incorporation on every level, and not use it as something that is going to hold me back. And so I've really just tried to push forward with my kids in that way, to be like, okay, so this is what I got on my plate, and you can be incorporated in this, and then give them an opportunity to also learn some new things and just be available to them in the ways that they need me to be available as well. So there are so many different facets of it that I maybe didn't think of when I was pregnant at 40. All I could think about was not being to do the things that I wanted to do anymore. And it's just that, okay, the way that I want it to go, that's okay. But there are still things that I can do. Do not give up on what I have for myself. So I had to keep telling myself those things over and over. And I mean, I still do every day. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, I'm not ready to parent a 6-year-old today. I'm not ready to, I don't feel like being a teacher. I'm not, you know, I want to go to work. I'm just, all that stuff. It's just, it's draining, but I just wake up and I say, okay, this is going to be a great day. We're going to get through this. And whatever we don't get through, we can save that for tomorrow, you know? So all those things.
I think that's really great. So I have a question. One of the things that you're talking about, I love how you're talking about how you incorporate your children into some of your goals. And it's one of the things that makes me think about Toni Morrison, how she wouldn't close a door and let her sons come in while she was writing. So I think that is really great. What kind of advice, or what kind of lessons do you think that teaches your kids when you're letting them come in and seeing how you are still pushing through with your goals and you're incorporating them?
I would like to speak directly to my daughter pertaining to that. Mm-hmm. It teaches you to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that they get to see that in a big way, that I do things to take care of myself inside of the home, as far as pushing forward with dreams and visions. And also outside of the home, I do not stay here all day, and I don't feel guilty about it. I mean, in COVID, yes, I stay here all day.
Right. But we are all staying here all day right now.
But when, like, you know, there's things that I want to do, I leave my house. I have a whole husband, and I let him take care of his own children. This was like a big thing with, me and my mom, just because of generational gap. She would be like, oh, he's at home with the kids again. And I'm like, he is their whole father. Yes, he is. And I am not there, you know? So I have to incorporate, like, being able to take care of myself, like you said, and letting them walk in and see what I'm doing in a process and letting them be involved, but also making sure that when I don't want to do this and I don't feel up to it, that I get out of here, because right. it's going to make me a better person at the end of the day and not feel guilty about it.
Right.
I lock my door. I take baths. I'm like, no one can talk to me right now. And I don't feel bad about it. At first I used to feel like, oh, that sounds so harsh or that sounds so mean, but hey, these kids are resilient.
They are.
They get it. They're like, okay, so yeah, let's give her a couple of feet of space right now, and then she'll be back, and they can even see that I'm better. So I hope that answered the question. I feel like I got on a ramble.
No, it's okay. But it made me think about how to protect my sleep and our marital relationship, my husband and I ended up having to lock the door for the kids, the girls coming in, because the 6 and 8 year old for me are both girls. They would come in the middle of the night, every night, and we would put them back. And then it was like the first night we put them back once, they were stay in bed. And then each night it would get worse. They come back a couple times. They come in earlier. Next thing you know, they're going to sleep with us and they're waking up with us. And I was just like, I can't do this. I need sleep. We're not, you know, there's no intimate time with us because we got two little girls laying in the bed and I love them dearly, but they got to go. So we lock the door. And so every once in a while, maybe every 6 months, they kind of revert back and I don't know why. And we got to do it again. That was nice. All right. You guys can't come in. And the first night is always hard. You know, they got the tears, but then they just go to bed in their own room. They're very resilient. They're like, guess what? We can't go in there. Nope. We have found them on the couch a couple times.
But I think what's great about what both of you are doing, though, is that you're also teaching your kids to value your time, and thereby valuing their time, and they're going to learn that they all get their own kind of private time and space too. And so that teaches a lot of respect. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
I agree, you know, and respect is a taught thing, like you said, by saying that this is our space. And we value spending our time together as a married couple, and we value our sleep. Lord Jesus, do I value my sleep? Like, no, you can't come in here. And right. also giving them the ability to, I do that to them too. Like if they are in the middle of doing something, I try to say, okay, I'm going to give you 15 more minutes to do that, because I value your time and your space. And I don't want to like stop you mid, because I know how that feels for me. Somebody's like, oh, you got to pivot. Now it's time to do this.
Right.
So I give them the same respect that I expect them to give me. So it's a reciprocal thing around here.
That's nice. I mean, I do that as well with the kids. You know, I try to give them their space. I try I guess a new video game dropped last week or something. And my son really wanted to play it, and it was supposed to be like all day long. I have no idea what it was, but it was something with his friends. He keeps pretty PG games, so I'm not thinking the game's crazy or whatever. But he's like, yeah, it drops at like 1 o'clock. And I was going to go online and play it with my friends. And last week I had made this determination. I make a lot of plans for us as a family, and I never follow through because I give up because it gets frustrating because I got to force everybody to do it. But So last week I decided Harry Potter was on, or Harry Potter, the entire series was on. I was like, you know what? We are going to spend this week watching the movies. Every night we are going to come together and watch the movie. Well, there's 8 of them. So that meant 2 on Friday, 2 on Saturday, and 2 on Sunday. So my son told me about this game, and I was like, okay, so what we'll do is we'll watch one before that 1 o'clock. And then you spend a good, you know, 4 or 5 hours playing your game. Is that enough time? And I asked him, is that enough time? Can you play 4 or 5 hours with your friends and then come back to us around 6 o'clock, and then we can watch the other movie together? And he was like, that's perfect. So he got what he wanted. I got what I wanted. And we all enjoyed 8 Harry Potter films.
It just makes life so much easier. And I mean, it's not always possible to work it out that way. Like sometimes, yes, there are times that I just have to say, this is what we're doing. That's it. No questions or whatever. But for the most part, if I could give them an opportunity to make some kind of decision for themselves, even if both of the decisions work in my favor, at least they think
Yeah.
At least they think that they actually have had a choice in the matter of, okay, all right, so I did get to pick what I wanted to do. So I try to do that a lot just to cut down on confusion.
Yeah. So, okay. So tell us about your Melanated Moms podcast. What topics do you cover? Do you have hosts? Do you have a co-host? Do you have interviews? Tell us about it.
So, like I said, it was born out of having the second set of children. I do not have a co-host. I interview a lot of guests, mostly moms, all moms at this point, just about what they're doing to fulfill themselves, to keep themselves filled up. And I also interview moms about what they do to keep their children filled up. And I wanted to tell a story, too, about something that caused me to realize that raising creative and innovative children can really pay off. Okay. So this is a story about my 24-year-old who is now a wildly successful DJ in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Cool.
Yeah. So this boy, he had me, he had me running. When I tell you guys, he had me running all around since he was about 7 years old. That's when he really got into wanting to be a DJ. So there were places here, music centers or whatever, where you could go and play on people's DJ equipment. So every single weekend we were at these music centers. Every single time I turned around, he had a plan for my life where I was going to be driving him or where I was going to be participating in these different activities. And I wasn't as flexible back then as I am now. I wanted to force him to do things, you know. Oh, we right. say boys should all play sports, or boys should all be doing this, or you need to do this activity. So I was forcing him into all these boxes that he didn't want to be in. And he just told me one day that I'm going to be a DJ, and pretty much you need to let me do this. Nice. And so I said, okay, so if this doesn't work out, like, what's your plan B? And he said, there isn't a plan B. This is it. This is what I'm going to do. So that's when I decided to get behind him and let him do what he wanted to do creatively. I think a lot of us come here knowing what we want to do with our lives. Mm. Then we get people telling us that can never work.
Right.
Oh, what else are you going to do? What yeah. is your other plan? And so then I had to really decide that maybe something has been spoken into his life that I don't know about yet. So I need to be able to get behind that and let him do what he wants to do. And when I tell you that he took off, like, immediately after I said, okay, forget it, I'm going to not try to force you to play football or do martial arts or whatever, his career and the way that he was able to meet people and move in the DJ scene took off at an amazing rate. He DJs on the radio every Friday night here. He has been on Sirius XM radio a few times, and he is, like, on the club scene constantly when we're not nice. In COVID. So right. yeah, I think that finally just letting myself say, okay, this is what you want to do. This is what I'm going to let you do. I'm going to get behind your creative ambitions and dreams. And I'm trying to do that to the little ones as well. So I think that Melanated Mom podcast really tries to speak to moms about doing that. And I really try to have moms on who are doing creative things with their kids and letting other mothers know that this is, to me, like a new trend in life. Your kids do have ideas and they do have dreams and goals that they can get accomplished and that they may know that they want to do, like I said, that don't necessarily line up with what dream or vision you may have for their lives. So,
well, I mean, to piggyback off that, so I think it's even harder when you're in a Black family, because the expectation is they must, especially a Black boy, he must like sports. Mm-hmm. And that was something I always struggled with my son, because me and my husband are actually fairly athletic. So I just wanted him to play something, anything. And he'd mm-hmm. take to something and then it would just fall away. I'd be like, you want to do it again? No, I don't want to do it again. The longest we had was tennis, and he did that for 3 seasons. And then he's like, I'm done with that too. And I'm like, can't you do anything athletic? Like, let's get out there and go play. And he's like, no, I just want to draw. So he just draws, and he draws and draws and creates and builds and draws. And, you know, and he's great. He's a great teacher to my younger ones. So he spends a bunch of time, you know, teaching them how to do things. They all draw together. I cannot draw worth anything. And so I watched the three of them and they draw. I mean, for 6 years old, like you could see good proportions and good sizes, and he's teaching them how to do that, not me. And so it's just allowing them to kind of give into each other, and allow them to just flourish in their own respect. And I think now that we are more of an entrepreneurial society, and we're quite frankly at the stage where our college degrees aren't paying off like we thought they would.
Right.
I'm not nearly as excited sending my son to college right now than I was when I had him. When I had him, I was like, yes, you're going to go, you're going to do this. And then I'm looking at my student loan debt. I'm like, and he's 16. I still got student loan debt. And I don't want that life for him if that's not the direction he wants to go. So it's a lot easier to let it go.
It is. I totally agree with that. My son was even in college. He went the community college route, and then he ended up at a university and he didn't finish because he never wanted to do it in the first place.
Right.
We were getting behind him and pushing him and kind of prodding in that way. And of course, you know, when your parents tell you that you should do something, they want to make us happy. They want to please us. And then one day he said he's not going back. And I'm like, you know what? That has to be a decision that you make for yourself. Maybe at 35, you will decide that college is important again. Maybe not. And that's okay. I'm not paying for that time that you went to school, though. You're going to have to pay for that. You know, yes, he got some loans, so he's going to have to pay for it. But at the same time, I'm not going to push you to do the things that you don't want to do. And like you said, it's no longer paying off in the way that it paid off for us when we were in school. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested. Both of you ladies are talking about how creative your children are. Do you think the creativity inspired you to follow your own creative interest as well?
I definitely think that it did. Watching my son, he teaches me so much. He's always like, Mom, what do you want to do? Like, whatever it is that you want to do, you should chase after that. Mm-hmm. And I even look at the younger ones too. I'm just a watcher. Like, I try to watch what they're interested in, and I try to push them in that direction by signing them up for things and that sort of thing. But just watching them like being free to do what they want to do, it really does push me in the direction of just following dreams. It's like, what's the worst thing that could happen? It doesn't work. Okay. So you move on to the next thing. It's not a big deal. I think that before I would get so caught up in fear, I don't know if you have this thing, April, with the podcast about how is it going to go, or you know, who's going to listen, or am I going to be able to keep up with it? And it's like, if it doesn't work, I just don't do it anymore. It's that simple. And so I think that kids have that mindset of like, okay, so we will approach things from many different avenues, and one of them is going to work. And so I want to get more of a childlike faith when it comes to following some of the things that I want to do, because they don't have a problem saying that, okay, well, I didn't draw that perfectly today. I will try again tomorrow, or maybe I will approach it from a different angle. And I think if we as adults can jump on that too, that we would lead much happier lives. And in turn, we wouldn't be trying to force our kids to do all the things that we never wanted to do. You know,
That's true. Well, I think for me, it was more me trying to be encouraging for them shown a light on how I was treating myself. So I would allow them to be imperfect and, you know, celebrate when they finished a drawing as opposed to criticizing it, saying that looks nice. And sometimes I would ask them questions like, hey, don't you think his head looks a little big? But I wouldn't criticize the whole project. I would just say, maybe we can work on this. And I realized that in talking to them, I didn't do that for myself. I didn't allow myself to make mistakes. I didn't allow myself to give an imperfect project. I would just, and this is how my 8-year-old is very much like me. If I didn't think I could do it perfect, I wouldn't do it at all. Yeah. So I would just shut down and just say, I'm not good at it. Like drawing. I still say it. I'm not good at drawing. And part of that is I used to do drawings and people are like, what is that? That was the question they would always ask. Well, what is that? I can't even tell what that is. And it was just so heartbreaking because especially when you're little, you think you're doing a good job. And when someone just goes, well, what is that? You know, and there are ways about it. There's ways to work around it. So, you know, you instead say, hey, tell me what this is, you know, and it's really the way you say it versus what you say. And I realized I was just being so much, I was so critical of myself, but I didn't want them to feel that criticism. And so I had to really start changing the way I thought about myself and change the way I spoke to myself on top of speaking to them.
Absolutely.
So, okay. And so tell us about, we started going into the podcast realm. So tell us a little bit more about some of the topics. What are some of the favorite topics that you'd like to discuss on the podcast?
I really like the podcast where I get to talk to moms about being free enough with themselves to explore their own dreams. So I've had people on who have started businesses. I've had people on who are just beginning to realize that their dreams are just as important as their children's dreams. I have had people on who just continue to wrap their dreams up inside of what their children have going on. They kind of are doing what I'm doing. They're bringing their children on board to do the things that they want to do. They're getting them involved in the things that they want to do as well. So it's just been a plethora of people that I've had on. Some really exciting guests, some really exciting topics. I am excited to go further in it. This is just a little over a year for me in the podcast. So okay. I'm still calling myself kind of brand new. So, but I am enjoying the ride so far, and I'm looking forward to continuing to grow and continuing to have even more amazing people on as I go forward.
Well, okay. Well, where can we find you online?
I can be found. I have a website and it is melanatedmom.com. I also can be found on Instagram where I hang out at most of the time is at Melanated Mom Podcast. And I also have a Facebook page, which is Melanated-Mom. So those are the three places that I usually am. And like I said, I'm usually on Instagram the most.
Nice, nice. Do you have any other questions, Renee, before we log off?
No, I just am really excited to have gotten a chance to talk to you, Tracy, and hear your perspective and your story. And I love the awakening on the other side of 40, because that's really just that moment when I was younger, just kind of thinking that, you know, by 40, you had to have everything figured out. Mm-hmm. And it's just great that this awakening happened and you're able to just kind of shine. And that's a wonderful inspiration to mothers and women alike. So thank you for sharing.
Renee and April, thank you so much for having me on. This was really fun, and it also caused me to think about my awakening a little bit more. So I appreciate you ladies having me on today.
Oh, and we appreciate having you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Take care. Bye. Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Other Side of 40. You can find us at our site, theothersideof40.com, and on Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Other Side 40.